Hello and welcome to Lodcast. Before I get into this episode, I wanted to quickly say thank you to all our listeners and subscribers. We've had thousands of you listening in so far, so a real big thank you. I also wanted to let you know that we really do welcome feedback and suggestions. So if you do have anything you would like to say, please do email us at lodcast@lodlaw.com. And obviously, we'd love you to rate and subscribe to the podcast so you always get the latest episode as soon as it comes out. In this episode, I'm delighted to speak with Terry Modishead, a global leader in talent management and the author of our latest report, Building the Next In-House Legal Team. Terry has been a thought leader in people-centered legal practice innovation for more than 25 years, and it was a privilege to speak with her about how in-house teams should think about talent management. So without further ado, here's Terry. Thanks for being with us, Terry. Why don't you tell our listeners a bit about your background and what you're up to at the moment?
Thanks for having me, Mark. Really delighted to be here. And sure, very happy to do that. I lead the Centre for Legal Innovation at the College of Law for Australia, New Zealand and Asia. And it's a think tank that identifies and analyses legal market trends. And then we try to translate those into kind of, you know, practical bite-sized pieces that support folks who are on that journey of transformation in legal practice. Prior to that, I worked in talent management globally with Lexmundi in the US, which is, as you know, a global law firm alliance, and also with the Inter-Pacific Bar Association. But I've worked in that capacity in Hong Kong and the US for private law firms as well. And my side hustle, if you like, is that I have a private consultancy that focuses on change and talent management and people-centered innovation.
Great. And so at the moment, I imagine you've got a few projects on the boil, so to speak. What have you got on at the moment?
We have a lot of projects on the boil at the moment, Mark. As you can imagine, it's a really busy time, but we're really looking at all the changes that are taking place in the legal ecosystem, as I think we now tend to call it. There's a lot that's changing, and it's changing fast. So we're really very much focused on providing practical tools and support to folks to help them through that. So we're doing that through a bunch of different things. We've got a Chief Innovation Officers Forum for the folks that lead innovation. We've got a Legalpreneurs Lab for folks that kind of want a one-stop shop for legal tech and innovation. And we recently just launched our innovation incubators, which are for folks that want to pursue projects and want some support, particularly coaching for those. So at any one point in time, we're exhausted.
I can imagine. Now, Terry, what we wanted to talk about broadly today is the idea of talent management in law firms, but particularly in in-house legal teams. When we talk about talent in those settings, what do we really mean?
You know, we're really talking first and foremost about capabilities, and it's not just any sort of capabilities. It's really the capabilities that you need to help the business deliver on its business performance goals. And I think the two of those often are disconnected. We often think about talent in terms of talent in and of itself, but not really necessarily connecting it closely to the business actually being able to perform. So that's the first bit. And I think today, increasingly, we have to think about talent in terms of the human labor or resource, if you like, but also the digital resource, because obviously, you know, anything that we do these days is, you know, assisted or automated or augmented in some way with technology. So it's really, you know, that relationship and combination between the two.
So does talent necessarily equal capability, or is talent a part of an organization's capability?
It is the organization's capability. So the talent is the ability, if you like, or the connection between actually being able, what you've got, the resources that you've got, and using those to really be able to deliver on your business performance goals.
Right. So it's much broader than just thinking, you know, talent equals how many lawyers we have, for example. It's a much broader concept.
Yeah, absolutely. And much beyond, you know, these days, particularly much beyond just thinking about that, whether you're in a law firm or a legal department, thinking about it in terms of lawyers. That's kind of one group, if you like, in a much broader multidisciplinary team.
Right. And so over the past, let's just say 5 years, for example, there's obviously been lots and significant changes to everything about work, but also big changes to talent management. What do you see as the kind of the most significant changes for talent management in in-house legal teams?
I think that changes have firstly been incredibly exciting. And I guess, you know, there's probably three big ones I guess I'd look at. One is how much the in-house role has itself changed. And I think we see this a lot in the media. And I'm sure that the in-house folks listening to this, you know, realize that, you know, this has happened to them already, but it's much more strategic. I think it's much more focused on that trusted advisor role and much more accessible. You know, I think that the reality was that no one wanted to go to the legal department lawyers at one point in time. They would be the last ones to be brought in, and now they're increasingly, and I think advisedly, being brought in first. And I think the other big thing about that role change is that really that in-house counsel, I think, are increasingly the change agents in our broader legal ecosystem. So that's kind of one of them. I think that the second thing that's changed is really the content of that role. I can kind of see, particularly in the last 5 years, but even the last few years, just that emerging differentiation between the content or what is done by in-house counsel in their role versus what is done by external counsel. There are certainly some similarities, but there are also an increasing number of differences. And I'm thinking particularly around things like a much more holistic approach to the problem by in-house counsel, again, that multidisciplinary approach, but also an increasingly enhanced use of things like tech and data and a whole bunch of different service providers to deliver the work, as well as obviously a very big focus on being flexible and a much broader use of pricing models. And last but certainly not least, the other big change I think we've seen is in-house becoming a preferred employer or gaining that preferred employer status. So anecdotally, at least, along with legal tech startups, in-house counsel have become kind of the rock star employers, and legal departments are increasingly benefiting from that, particularly as legal departments have now started to open up their recruitment opportunities to grads, you know, straight out of law school versus just lateral hires. So they're the big ones, Mark. There's lots of them, but they're the ones that have kind of jumped out at me.
Yeah, okay. And so just to play that back, the kind of three aspects were the kind of changing nature of the role vis-a-vis trusted advisor, change agents. The second one was around the content of that role. And the third one was the shift in status to kind of a preferred employer status for in-house teams. Is that right?
Yeah, rock star employers. How's that?
Yeah, that's a good one. Okay, rock star employers. Now, as we record, it's the kind of mid-May 2020, and obviously a big thing on everyone's minds is the kind of current pandemic. Now, the pandemic has forced most organisations around the world to rethink how they deliver their work and increasingly who actually delivers that work. What has been the impact, do you think, of COVID-19 on legal talent management so far, with the obvious proviso that it's still early days?
Yeah, absolutely. And that change is still very much upon us. I think, you know, even as a starting point in answering that question, Mark, it's actually that talent management has been brought into focus in and of itself. I think that's one of the really big things, that we're really looking at our workforce and looking at people that we employ as well as our digital assets really quite differently. But to answer your question very specifically, I think the how has got to be around the obvious one that I think is on everyone's minds and lips, but the greater use of technology. I mean, COVID has definitely advanced the uptake of the use of legal tech, particularly by years, if not a decade. And I'm talking here beyond the obvious, which is, you know, the video conferencing or the doc sharing platforms or the e-signatures or alternative dispute resolution platforms, all of which are incredibly important, but just that orientation towards being willing to experiment with something and to actually change, which is just so important, as particularly as for in-house, as their businesses are going to, their corporate businesses are going to be undergoing so much change. But I think the other thing that it's done in the how part of it is really it's enhanced or encouraged a different type of collaboration and a different type of, as a result, people getting to know each other, because they're seeing kind of inside people's houses and their pets and their families and whatever the case may be. I think on the second part of that, the who part of that, definitely a much greater focus. And I guess I've been referring to it as the greatest global proof of concept around remote and flexible working. So I think working or that expansion of the gig worker or the gig economy, we've not only seen it, but we're going to see a lot more of it. And I think, too, that a change in focus in terms of the who around outputs and not hours. And I guess finally on that, I would say, on the who's, a really big change in how we will choose and what we expect of our leaders and managers. So we've just started to see the beginning of what I think are going to be really quite significant and very likely systemic changes to how we think about legal talent management. It's going to be within the context of a much broader changing environment.
So Terry, when in-house leaders think about talent management, what are the most important things that they should be thinking about?
First and foremost, Mark, I guess going back to one of the things that we mentioned earlier, I think the first thing that they have to focus about is their business, the business of their organisation or their company, and what those performance goals are now, tomorrow, and in the future, and really be building the capabilities that can deliver on that. I mean, you know, as we sit here today, so much is going to be changing for so many businesses that we may find that we haven't got the right capabilities even for today, much less tomorrow. So I think clarity around that, first and foremost, even though we're talking about talent management, is obviously very, very important. The next bit, I think, and again, we've just touched on it, is really getting the mix right between human and digital resources. And by that, I mean to think about what you want your, what not only what skills and capabilities, competencies your talent brings, but really how they're going to be able to or need to be able to do their job. And it is going to require the use of being able to work with data, and it is going to require the use of being able to work with tech tools and increasingly artificial intelligence. So that's a big one that we need to be thinking about, and how that's kind of reshaping in a way the nature of work and how we do it. I think also thinking about managing the legal work like a project, so breaking it down into segments and thinking about who is best able to deliver that segment. And sometimes it will be perhaps a tech solution. Sometimes it will mean that you retain the stuff. Sometimes it means you send it out, and it doesn't mean that you're just retaining it or sending it out in working with people that are other lawyers. It's going to mean that you're working with where those capabilities lie in the broader legal ecosystem. So it might be a data scientist, or it might be an alternative legal service provider, not so alternative anymore because they're really all mainstream. So it's really breaking it down and then thinking about what that workforce looks like. So are they people that need to be full-time or part-time or global or local, and making sure, of course, there's always that focus on quality. And I think there's probably three more that I'd mention really quickly. I think, you know, it's really important when we talk about talent management that we actually manage our talent in the sort of world that we've just been talking about and I've just described. We really have to think carefully about those capabilities and, you know, think about whether we're retaining the right people. Do we need to retrain them? Who are we recruiting, and should we be retrenching people because the capabilities are no longer with them? Collaboration is another really big one, proactively seeking out those people that can build relationships within the organisation and outside. And finally, and I know it's a long answer to your question, Mark, but it was a big question, to be fair.
It was.
Finally, I would say really, really need to be thinking about continuous improvement. We are no longer in an ecosystem. We're no longer in a world where things stand still. And if we haven't learned that of recent times, I don't know when we would. But it's really, really important to have in the mix people who will challenge the status quo, ask those annoying questions, and really think out of the box and just focus on that ability to be continuously improving, a real focus on agility, and as a result of that, really having available the sort of learning that's going to be needed to allow people to continually upskill.
Great. I mean, just thinking about everything you've just said, that seems like a relatively big ask of, people who traditionally might have just been lawyers who now find themselves near the top of the legal food chain within an organization now need to be thinking about things like project management, like technology management, continuous improvement. It seems like quite a lot. Would that be fair?
It is quite a lot, but I think that's part of working out where the capabilities need to come from, right? So if we're asking one group of people, if we're asking lawyers to be specialists in all of these in increasingly specialised fields, it would be almost humanly impossible. And that's why I think we've really got to think about the delivery of legal services and products now as being multidisciplinary, bringing in other specialists. And, of course, I said humanly possible because it might be that there's a digital solution you've got to be bringing in too.
So, Terry, we've been having a think about the kind of past changes to talent management and what's happening at the moment. If we could now kind of cast our gaze forwards, what excites you the most for the future of in-house legal teams from a talent management perspective?
Well, Mark, I've got to tell you, if I was, if I had my time over and I was a law grad again, I'd have my eyes actually firmly focused on an in-house role. I think it's incredibly exciting. So I guess what excites me most about it is that there's a real opportunity, I think, for in-house legal teams to really show the way of how legal services and products can be delivered, to almost change the talent profile within the legal industry. So it really is a multidisciplinary and multigenerational and multicultural workforce. I think there's a real opportunity for that to be done. And I think secondly, and this is a really important one, it always has been, but even more so now, is really figuring out that way to create a better workplace, to have that focus on mental health and well-being, which frankly we haven't had in the legal profession and we've needed to, and now that is increasingly in focus. So I just think that there's this chance to transform talent management, but all of the things that flow from that. So it's a big opportunity, you know, no pressure, but an incredible opportunity if we think of it in that way.
Great. And then kind of on the flip side of that question, what are you most nervous about when you think about the future?
I guess I'm most nervous about the fact that in-house counsel, because they do have that incredibly influential role as clients of large law firms, but really any size law firm, but the industry more generally, just won't realise how much influence they have to be change agents, or they won't use it. And I guess what I have in mind here is one of the pretty significant changes that we've seen led by the diversity lab out of the US, which is called the Mansfield Rule. And this is really, and there are many aspects attached to that, but fundamentally this is about enhancing or improving gender equality, particularly in law firms, but of course it reflects more broadly in the industry. And I think just the work that in-house counsel has done through that initiative and many similar ones around gender diversity and other aspects of diversity has really had a very significant impact. And so we've got, if you like, proof of the fact that that can happen, that in-house counsel can be change makers. And I guess I just hope that they will continue to seize the day and pursue that role.
Brilliant. And that leads us to our final question for today, which is, what advice do you have for junior lawyers or legal professionals, or maybe even legal technologists, thinking about their future and what skills they should be focusing on and developing?
Absolutely, and a great question. I guess that I would say there are four things, or I'd categorize them generally in four things. And I promise that I will give you some explanation for each one of them. Be brave, be curious, be proactive, and be connected. Firstly, on the be brave one, I think it's really important to know what skills you have as a junior lawyer and what skills you don't have. Often we focus more on what we don't have than what we do have. There are tremendous opportunities in just kind of the orientation towards things like technology and the understanding of it and looking at things differently, because we're all, you know, we're continually looking at changing practice, bringing those kind of thoughts and being willing to lead with those thoughts in various places and at various times. So I think being brave is one of them. Being curious is a huge one. I think it's so critical that junior lawyers keep up to date with the changes that are taking place in the industry. For sure, understand the history, but don't be confined by it. And so really understand what's happening in the industry and as I say, kind of in a way matching that with the skill set that you have, but also being willing to think differently. I mean, we have too often been educated in law school the same way for a really long time. And while that has served us well and will continue to in some respects, it doesn't in others. So there will be that necessity to be curious and think differently, to experiment in your career. You know, the career that you start on isn't the one that you're going to necessarily be on for the rest of your life. In fact, almost certainly will not, several times over. So it's really important to be curious and be willing to try some things and to change. Being proactive, I think in any sort of legal role now, your knowledge is a given. What we're really looking for and what clients are increasingly looking for in terms of what they value is experience. So, you know, it's going to be so important for junior lawyers to get out there and to get experience, get lots of it and get it often as early as possible, and really be skilled to go directly to that part of the question you asked me, Mark, really be skilled in things like technology, in data, in project management, and to be able to hit the ground running as quickly as possible. And I think in terms of being proactive, actually being willing to propose a role that adds value. Don't wait for that role to come to you. Actually approach someone with a role that you might be able to perform that would add value. And finally, being connected. If we think about the world that we're in, it's all about networks and it's all about networking and collaboration. So, you know, you've got to be able to do that. You've got to be able to network. You've got to be part of networks and you've got to be connected. And increasingly, that will become even more important than it's always been.
Great. Thanks so much, Terry. And it kind of just leaves me now to say, on behalf of all our listeners, thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate your time and your wisdom on all these matters.
Thanks so much, Mark. A real pleasure.